call the regular meeting of the Water and Wastewater Committee of the Town of Discovery Bay to order. Can I have roll call, please?
Roll call has been taken and let the record reflect that all members are present.
Okay, this is as similar to our regular board meeting. We are bound by the same rules and laws of the state of California, which means that this is the period of time when we have a time for public comment. Public comment is designed for comments with regards to items that are not on the agenda. If you want to speak to an item that is on the agenda, then you wait until the time that that item is called, and then I will ask for public comment for each one of those items that are considered discussion items. So, is there any public comment about any items that are not on the agenda?
Can I ask one question?
You may.
My comment is going to be from last night's meeting, but I don't know that that falls under water and wastewater.
It's not on the agenda. If you have something to do with the water meters, it's not on the agenda. This would be the time when you'd want to make it. You have 3 minutes.
Okay.
Go ahead, Frank.
Just my 2 cents from last night's meeting. First of all, statute recommends for crowd handling. And there was a question about the cost of the water meter. So a 3/4 inch Badger manual water meter costs between $23 and $77. A 3/4 inch Badger electronic water meter costs $197.38 plus $90.04 for the endpoint. The takeaways I had from last night's meeting, were homeowners, one, anger over the water meter costs, concern over installation billing, anxiety over the payment due date, annoyance of not getting through to speak to staff, dismay over attorney summation. The CSD needs to diffuse the situation before potential legal action from homeowners. Legal action will drain CSD funds. The solution is not for the CSD to delay payments, but to pay for the installation. The CSD does not have to explain why, in today's economy, it is the correct solution for homeowners. Thank you.
Thanks, Frank. I just want to make a general comment that we didn't make last night about that for the record, and that is that the CSD does not generate revenue. So whenever we are being told that we need to pay for the meters, it's the same people that are complaining and the same people that got the installation, they're going to pay for the meters. We don't generate revenue from any other source. So if the town's going to pay for the meters and it's not going to come out of in a billing process like this, then it's going to come and raise rates. There's no place else to get the money from. So I just want to make it clear that the CSD is not going to pay. It did pay for the meters, but the ratepayers are the source of revenue for that. So it's going to come from the same pool.
To complement that, if you don't mind, to add to that, there are 2,500 homes who already have meters, and so it would not be fair to them to bill them on top of their meters.
Right. If we take that as some sort of a general fund, then we have people that have already paid for their meters subsidizing the rest of the town. That also is not fair. Good point. Thank you, Bert. Okay. Any other public comment?
No, I mean, I wasn't able to be here last night based on being somewhere else, but the mention about the payments and itemized, is there going to be any?
If you would like to get an itemized breakdown of your bill, contact the office, and they're responding actually relatively quickly.
Okay.
The biggest problem is getting through, because as you can imagine, we only have three or four phone lines, and so it will give you the perception that we're not answering the phone, but we are, and we're doing it diligently. We've got a full staff over there. We're not adding people for this project, but we have a full staff over there. If you are patient, you get through to our, am I getting it correct?
Absolutely correct.
Okay, just call, and we will get you a cost breakdown within days.
Yeah,
well, I'm not worried about today or tomorrow.
You will get that.
I'm going to cut my water off tomorrow.
We are providing that.
And I'm not going to pay the bill tomorrow either, so.
Yeah. We're providing that upon request.
Right.
But we know that there's going to be a certain percentage of people that want to see that, but it's cheaper to do it one by one than it was to send out to 3,500 people. So we're doing it upon request.
Okay.
There's actually a pretty good summary of the meeting on Nextdoor, if you're on Nextdoor. There's actually a very well-written summary. There was actually a very well-written summary of the meeting on Nextdoor, if you participate in that.
Yeah, we did actually.
There's a very concise and well-written summation of the meeting last night. You may want to look that up.
Okay, cool.
Okay, anyway, all right, that's enough for public comment. Draft minutes?
Move approval.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Presentations. Water and wastewater updates. Staff.
I will do that one. I just wanted to let you know that we did an email blast, and on our website we have advised people that on the May 2nd regular board agenda, there will be on the agenda a revisit of the payment options plan for board consideration, and that was also sent to the press as well. That concludes my update.
Okay, I'll talk to staff later about something. Okay. Item E, discussion items. Staff number one, update San Bayo. Who's got that one? Virgil?
Would you believe that we found the knife pipeline going into that development?
Heard rumors.
Pardon me? Oh, you heard rumors of that. Well, the rumor's true. We did find it, and yesterday we dug it up. And we did attach a meter to it, so it does have a meter now.
So did you find it where we thought it was going to be? In between those two houses?
We found the line parallel, thank you, next to the fire hydrant. Which generally you don't do, but apparently they did. But nevertheless, it's there. So we found it. When we did the backhoe, we did hit it. Bucket, and so then we had a leak. We have stopped, we turned everybody off, fixed the leak, put it on, and
okay. The good news is that every source has been found for Sand Bay Isle and has a meter on it.
The other issue, but it's a Sand Bay Isle issue and not
internal,
a town issue.
Internal issue
is that the 52 units there, some of the residents have said, can you install a meter at my place? And I said, I don't believe your HOA has figured out how are they going to bill you for the usage. And then I said, ma'am, you can buy a meter for $35. And they have gears in them. Those gears wear out very quickly. So a lot of water is going to go your way without you being paid for it. And the HOA is going to pay for it. And that's why most water districts are trying to get away from a wheel type of a water meter. Anyway, I said, I would not suggest you buy a water meter yet until your HOA knows how they're going to deal with the reading of it and what kind of meter, because they should probably standardize on what type of meter gets put on those 52 condo units.
Well, let's hope that they have some success in figuring that out amongst themselves. Item two.
And just is there 5 or 6 meters over there?
There are 9.
9.
9. A couple of them are irrigation.
And they're all to the HOA.
And meters 1 and 2 right now are the top of my list for leaks daily. One 700 gallons a day, an hour, one 500 some odd gallons an hour.
500 gallons.
What it does is one meter serves a quad of homes or a group of homes. And so within that homes there are leaks going on. We can't identify them.
How responsive is the HOA board?
Not too responsive. But I got to believe when they get that first bill, or they have the bill already, and I think what I'm not sure how they did it, but I hope they did not take all those number of gallons and dollars and divide it by 52. I don't know for sure. That would not be fair.
Okay, yeah.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Virgil. Item 2. Wastewater master plan update. I assume we just received some information on that.
Yep. I turn it over to the town wastewater engineer. Greg.
Okay, so in the last wastewater committee meeting, we discussed how we wanted to contract for the master plan update, and the request that it was that we go out to formal RFP to a variety of consulting engineers. That RFP has been written. And that's like the
Did our public get a copy of our meeting?
I have one extra. I mean, you have to cut that actually before. I have two. So on page six, so as you know, we've had scheduled for the wastewater master plan.
Learn a little bit about wastewater.
I knew Frank could not resist.
Okay. we've had a schedule on the CIP, right? And we have a budget set on the CIP, I think of $200,000. And so we've gotten and picked up sort of everybody's concerns between Bernie and Virgil and myself. The schedule would be, if you guys would approve, we would issue the RFP essentially Monday to Allergy Consultants. The board would have to approve the contract, you know, when it comes back in, but this is like advertising, if you would. Essentially advertising. And we would receive proposals at the end of May. Interviews would be taking place, if you chose, interview around June. And then we would go to the board meeting on June 20th, is what we would target right now for approval of that contract. And we would start July 9th in terms of when we would start the master plan. And we have a desire of it 9 to 12 months.
What's the average length of a plan like this?
Yeah.
It's like a 10-year?
Yeah, so we tell them for a 10-year planning horizon. Many times we try, you know, they talk about a 20-year planning horizon, but, you know, what we saw even in our last master plan is enough stuff changes along the way that, you know, it's not being put on the shelf for 20 years. So, you know, we normally put a 10-year planning horizon on.
And sorry, normally you revisit it every 2 to 3 years and make sure you're still on track.
Yeah.
We could modify.
To a certain extent, to living in
the
document.
And a lot of times, one thing that happens every 5 years, we renew our permit, which is on the next subject coming up, and that usually has an impact on what our planning is. So, you know, usually you would want to do a review every 5 years if you hadn't done a review, and it's been 5 years. But in addition, we have a lot of concerns about the money we're going to have to spend coming up, and we want to stop and do one last planning document. Essentially, complete the master plan. We start July 1st, we wrap that around for a year, but then really we're not going to have a lot of time before we're going to have to start planning or designing the nitrogen project. You know, that's why one last look at that project, because it's really the lowest cost option and it's really, you know, the best way to do this.
Approximately how many qualified consultants do you think?
We'll probably send it to six. You know, it'll be advertised in the paper, but not like they don't have anything. We'll personally send it to six firms. So I identified Black & Veatch, Pearl, HDR, West Yost, Stantec, who's done all the previous ones. And,
So what's your staff recommendation for this item?
Great. So my staff recommendation is, based on previous discussions, we go out to our RFP starting Monday, receive proposals, then the team, if anyone wants to be on the team to select, that's fine. The moment I have Bernie, myself, and Virgil on the team to select the consultant for the proposals, and then the recommendations would come back probably to this board first, but then to this committee first, but then ultimately to the board for approval.
And we expect that. What's the deadline for the RFP?
Well, right now I have them coming in at May 30. So that gives us 6 weeks to do it. We will have a job walk, and we'll go over the tree plan and meet the consultants and walk around. You know, so you know, you have some light up to it.
Terry for our advice, if you have any questions.
Yeah. When is our wastewater committee meeting?
Probably long gone.
June 21st. Water wastewater.
Long?
Yes.
Yes.
Is it the day after the meeting? I can flip that. I mean, we can be adjustable on that schedule. You guys want
to
adjust?
I would think the committee can at least have a chance to kind of hear a little bit more in detail.
So we can change that to the wastewater committee on the 21st. Are we meeting on the 21st?
Yeah, I can hear. Yeah, don't move that.
So that's on the 21st?
The water and wastewater committee meeting? June 21st.
All right, so then we would slide to the first board meeting in July, right?
Which would actually, it'll actually, the 4th of July is the first Wednesday, so I don't know what we're going to do with that schedule.
Well, we're not going to have a regular board meeting.
Oh, there might be fireworks. Oh, no, that was last night.
Yeah. Which reminds me, I'm going to take care of that. So when would, let's see, June, July. Well, we would probably cancel that board meeting, and our next board meeting would be the 18th of July.
Does that work for your schedule?
And then 2 weeks.
Well, not, yeah, I mean.
Okay.
So, at any rate, just a summary of key issues. So that's the schedule we want to review, and then a summary of key issues. We have identified the following: update flow and load information based on environmental changes that affect flows, including recession, drought, and town-wide implementation of water meters. There's a lot of concern about what flows are re-coming to the plant with new water meters installed. Selecting the final process to move forward for denitrification for the current NPDES permit. So that's a big deal. There's a lot of money tied up into that. Addressing deficiencies identified with the operation of the UV system to be Title 22 under high flow conditions. This came out of our last construction project. Evaluate the possibility of changing discharge location of older to ground infiltration. Bernie brought that up. Consolidating information of previous master plans and amendments into the lead comprehensive report. So we've got a lot of updates. We have like 3 updates, so I get it all organized. And then review and recommend some SCADA network improvements. And then there's some specific tasks for specific pieces of equipment that we identified also as part of just the general effort. But those are the key issues that we're trying to address either on page 3 there.
Question. NPDES permit. So yeah. we're going to start going for this current one.
Yeah, it's next to the diamond.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
I have a question. And some of the data that the consultants would need is, what is our future land use going to look like in 5, 10 years? Because this is a 10-year plan.
Right.
And I don't know if we've updated it. And so probably a subcommittee of the town, the town needs to review our open space that's available. We lost 500 acres of their urban limit land to now non-development. And so that has an impact on our wastewater plant. And now there are some other things that are cooking up there, but haven't been brought up to the town yet.
So the consultant we hired is not going to do any land use planning for you. The town's going to have to step forward and say, this is the land available for development. This is what we expect for increases in terms of development. The 500 acres you were talking about was excluded from the original plan in the first place because we thought it was kind of dicey. So,
property, but
the other 500 acres is still available within the urban limit line. Town would discover
it. Last time when we did the planning document, we said it was such a huge impact to the town for that project to come online that essentially you just wouldn't
stand by itself
without its own standalone.
That's why I understood is that the developer, that's the developer's problem. I mean, that's going to be in the development plan, the environmental protection report, and then it goes on with developing what's left for about 1,500 homes over there now?
It's only 500 acres, so whatever.
Well, it was going to be 3064, and half of it's gone, so 1,500 to 1,800 homes over there. But we would never be able to absorb that into our existing infrastructure.
Yeah.
So it's going to be either another an extension to the plant that we currently have on the south side, or a different plant. But it would only make sense to put it as an extension into some of that land that we have between the two creeks.
Yeah, you would expect the developer to be part of that.
Well, they're going to have to.
And they'd have to pay for that.
That would be part of their mitigation, yeah.
It's such a big impact that we can't account for.
But this was contemplated Pantages, possibly the resurgence of North Point.
Right, those were included in the original.
That's included, yeah.
Yeah, they were included in the original master plan. And then if there's some other acreage in town that you think is a development or something.
I think we pretty much identified
everything. I think we have everything.
But what is true is we need to take what was considered in the previous plan and review that and make sure we consider that number of homes still accurate, right? You know, because that affects the plan.
Yeah. The only thing I would think of, though, I would like to add, that it would be really on the Parks Committee side, is taking our treated water and bring it back to by the marina and maybe ask for some land for parks, bigger open space parks. soccer, baseball field, that type of thing. That would be down the future, but that's the only thing I see.
Right.
A cup of water probably need to be part of this plan.
Well, we can add that to the plan if you want. At the moment, we've looked at it several times, and the water quality has been the holdback every time. I mean, the high boron and high salt has basically, everyone said, hey, don't want it.
Yeah.
So we haven't found anyone that wants to take the water.
There's some turf species
uh-huh.
that will now take on more boron and
right.
manganese.
Right.
So we would just, if we built a park or whatever, we would just have
yeah.
to go towards that.
Right. So what I'll do then is we can add that as a work scope item. Because we have, in addition to the key elements, which we identified the first six, there's some generic work things, you know, just consider a pipeline cost or this or that. I can add it to that. But specifically, what would you're saying? You want Title 22 pipe?
Yeah.
Purple
pipe.
Yeah, to where?
To Marina Road.
Marina Road. Okay. All right. And then basically, I have a section where we analyze the cost benefits. You know, we said, look, just analyze the cost benefit of this activity, and then the town can make a decision like, well, okay, is that money worth that cost? And we can put that in and compel for cost and a routing.
And I, another thing is because the purple pipe is starting to really be impact for us, or could be a very big impact. I don't know the laws, you know, Contra Water District has a 96-inch line run through our sewer plant, right in the front of our sewer plant.
Yeah, they have their own, we're technically, well, they have their own, not only easement, but they have their own property.
That's correct. They
right.
own the property.
They own the property.
And it goes up to the reservoir where they pump it and store it in their tank. Can we put purple pipe? How close can we put purple pipe to that? Because it would be great to put it down through that farmland, then take branches off of that to do irrigation for common landscape areas for us. But I don't know the law enough about the water and how close to that raw water can it be.
And is there, you know, with the drought conditions the way they are, I don't know if it's brainstorming, you know, selling it in terms of our residents that have their own landscaping. I don't know, but, you know, with a tanker or something like that, I don't know how appropriate that is or.
Technically, we can't sell to the public yet until you certify as a Title 22 facility.
Right.
Okay, so what we found with our testing and the filters and all this stuff is that we make Title 22 water right now, and we're less than two on the total call form, right? So we're making Title 22 water right now. What we found is under really high flow conditions, the UV has an issue and doesn't keep up with that, which is why we're addressing the master plan. But if you wanted to sell water right now, you're not a Title 22 purveyor, you would need to get certified to do that. Okay, now in the heart of the drought, when it was really, really bad 3 years ago, we did call the health department, and they basically said, in an emergency condition, they'd give us a waiver, even though we're not a Title 22 plant, if we made Title 22 water. And they said, okay, we understand it's a six-month process to go through and get Title 22 certification for your plant, but we also understand it's a massive drought, and we made Title 22 water, we let you do it. Now, at the time, we weren't, because we didn't have filters online. So they said we could not use the water, even if we did. We couldn't give it to the public. We couldn't do those things.
But during the height of the drought, when people were driving around with tanks in the back of their pickup trucks and going down to Brentwood and getting water, I believe it was free. They weren't charging people for the water. They were just going down and giving it away. It was free. So I don't know that there would be a market to sell water if next door, and I know in Livermore they were doing the same thing, they're giving away free water.
Yeah.
You see what Brentwood is charging for their regular water.
That's why they can afford to steal away free water.
Exactly right.
So
anyway, let's get back to, okay, do we have everything on there that we think, does everybody agree on that? Because we have.
So if you guys are agreed, we're going to go out to RFP with these changes.
We need a motion to accept this stuff.
Public
comment? Is there any public comment on that? On the wastewater management plan.
Move approval, staff recommendation.
Second. Okay. Any further discussion? No? All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you. Item three, NPDS.
Wait, you guys aren't lit. This is fun. You guys are leaving.
You're leaving.
We understand.
We're good.
At least you got a little I don't want to say taste, little taste of wastewater.
Have a good evening.
Thanks for coming in.
Okay, also for discussion in the last case where our permit renewal is coming up, and Stantec has done the previous permit renewal. We have to do this every 5 years. And so we've received a proposal from Stantec to update our current NPDES permit application. As you jump to the bottom line and look at the back, it's $49,000. 5 years ago, it was like $55,000 was what we paid for. It's actually less expensive than it was 5 years ago. And there is a contingency in this budget of $10,000. Part of that contingency is we're still messing around with the diffuser, and our diffuser recommendations that our report's supposed to be fine by the end of this month. And that has impacts on our crossable permits. And there's a line item in here about, okay, if we make a decision to build a cheaper diffuser or do something with the diffuser, it affects our permit, and they gotta roll that into the permit. So it was very fortunate that we started our work on the diffuser when we did, because any change to diffuser outfall walls has to be approved under our NPDES permit, you know, kind of thing. And so, in general, I told them, I asked them to leave a little contingency in there just in case some things come along, but it would be less expensive if it wasn't for the contingency. Well, it is less expensive, it'd be more or less expensive. One of the things that they used to have to do is now all the data is electronic, but they used to have to get it, you know, out of the treatment plant itself, off your own records, and they had to hand you a bunch of data that they don't have to do now. They can just download it from the state, you know, kind of thing. So there's some labor savings there. They did a couple updates. We did talk to Jim Marshall about a couple key subjects coming up. The first is, what's the likelihood we could delay the nitrogen project? So we asked Jim Marshall about that, because this is where we do it. In this permit, we come in and ask for a new time schedule. They said no.
He said no?
Jim Marshall.
He said no?
He said no. Wow. Not going to happen. He said, not only that, because of the way the permits work, they already gave it, because remember, we started in the last permit, and it says we can't go beyond the way our permits, like, we can't go beyond two permits. This is as far as we can go in terms of the schedule. And this is, and our current schedule is at the end of this coming permit, when it's all due. We did talk about ammonia, and they are willing to review ammonia. The ammonia limit, it's kind of an esoteric thing, but we want them to adjust the ammonia limit. They're going to do that. And then we did talk to them about the diffuser. If we made changes, what exactly they would need if we were going to make changes to the diffusers. The biggest one I was trying to push is, you know, could we, in this process, just flat out ask for a delay on the diffuser? I mean, the nitrogen project, which is an expensive project for this year. At the moment, he's saying no. Well, I'm saying we can't ask, but he's telling us what the answer is at the time. So that's the quick update on our NPDES issues. Now, the other good news is we're starting this. Our report from Stantec has to be submitted by February 1, but because we called Jim Marshall, he said they're already working on our permit. He said they're going to get most of the work done this summer. So it's actually very timely that we're starting this so that we can have input on what they're doing, because basically what they were going to do is they were going to draft the whole permit before we submitted anything, have it all ready to go, and then just slam it on, you know, kind of thing. So we actually are lucky that we called. And then we're starting early, because they were going to draft the whole thing without even talking to us and hand it to us.
Good thing we brought it up earlier.
So at any rate, my recommendation is we proceed on it. We go to the board for approval of this RFP. Right, you can't approve the contract, but this we would take this proposal to the board for approval. That's what our recommendation is.
You mentioned that the last proposal.
Yeah, last time we did this, it was about 55.
Yeah. So this was 5 years ago?
Every 5 years, yeah.
But this might even drop lower than the 49, depending on the diffuser allocation.
Yeah, I mean, he has 10,000 in contingency, and in this, in general, everything has gotten more streamlined with the state. So they said it's less work. But the two things that they wanted to make sure they have time in here for them, last time, they issued the permits. We need to comment on the draft permit. Then they issued the final. Then we went and challenged it and went up to the regional board and made a presentation about it last time. And so they wanted some time in here to be able to do that. So that's in here. And then they have a $10,000 contingency for just stuff. Now, this is a T&M contract, so they don't use the contingency unless we authorize it. You know, each piece is by this. So, in general, it's actually about 15 grand cheaper than it was last time to do this, rather than we're holding out a contingency just in case.
How long does it take for this to be?
The document is due February 1. Okay. The document is due February 1. But we will probably push to submit it early because the regional board has already said they're already working on a permit, and we don't want them off doing stuff without our input. And so we got to submit it so we can talk to them and then try.
So when do you anticipate if the board approves this, the work is, when is the work to be completed?
Yeah.
So they can submit.
So we would try to shoot for like October, because we're not, you know, right now, like if you approve, we got to go to the next board meeting, which is, so we're
May 2nd.
May 2nd. So if you approve it May 2nd, we get under contract, we're starting at, you know, the end of May, basically. You know, we shoot for, you know, 3 months or something to try and get a draft into the regional board. But in the meantime, because they're under contract, they can start talking to the regional board about what they're doing, you know, what they're seeing up there.
Put this
on the
May 2nd
agenda. I've got it. Okay. That's on the
list. Yeah.
Okay. On the May
2nd agenda. My only comment, I think, in the future, I think it would be good to not just have a sole source.
Yeah. That's a fair comment. It's probably going on the RFP on the master plan.
Right.
The one thing about permitting, though, is there's a lot of knowledge relationship building, and special knowledge about the plant and the relationship building about their interaction with our plant and the region. So most people don't change permit consultants very often. Certainly, it's something that, I mean, can be done. It could be done now. I think it would probably be more expensive because you have to bring somebody else completely up to speed.
Well, I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm not, you know, uncomfortable with that fact doing work that they've done before we have a relationship.
Yeah.
However, from the public's standpoint, if we went out to an RFP or something like this, I would think it would be in Sanitec's advantage because they know the process, they know the things, and they would be able to really fine-tune their numbers, so the other numbers coming in were probably going to be higher if we would go with it anyway.
Right.
But if it, in a public perception,
yeah,
transparency kind of thing, where I'm at.
Is this a service or is this a...
It's a service.
It's
professional.
Yeah,
right. But you can go out and get it.
You know, in the future.
I will say that when we were up against the wall back about 5 years ago, when we all went up to Sacramento together with Stantec, when we had to get an extension, it was a 2-year extension, and they, the state had never done it before. Stantec was part of that process and did a very fine job. I can't remember that guy's name. He was a character. You know what I'm talking about. You were there. For
Bristol.
Sure. Yeah. And so I have all the confidence with it. Right, right. That's a good point. I mean, if they don't think that they're going against anybody, they may have a number a little bit, but they're pretty trustworthy. And I think there's mutual respect, so maybe keep that in mind. I agree with that. So at this point, I'm okay with moving forward with that to the board.
Yes.
Okay, I think that wraps up our any future agenda items that we're aware of at this point.
We'll have a final report for the future.
Let me ask you a question.
At the end of this month, so I assume we bring it to the next.
Yes.
Yeah.
I spent 5 hours on a plane with a guy who does the fuses for a living.
Okay.
He's a hydro engineer.
Oh, yeah.
He does it for all Universal Studios, for all of their water rides, and all kinds. So I was just picking his brain the whole time. Going back, he's a former veteran, you know, former Navy guy. It was pretty interesting. Getting back to the boron and salt. And so, are you telling me that even if we were to run a purple pipe back here, nobody could use it on their we could use it on our own landscape?
Be careful.
Because it would kill the water.
Because it can, depending on the plants. Certain leafy plants.
So those two items aren't part of what Title 22 regulates?
know. So Title 22 regulates, is it biologically safe? Does it have bacteria in it that's going to hurt somebody? After that, it's up to you in terms of quality of water. So when we suck, now by the way, your well water is tough on the plants too. So
well water is tough on my fixture
recycled water, not drinking water.
Right, yes. It's Title 22 regulation for recycled water. But talking to
Title 22 regulations for drinking water.
Not Ian, but what's your name? Your friend.
But boron isn't a registered item in the Department of Health's book to remove.
So Farron was even commenting, like, the well water, if you have boron in your well water, it gets concentrated in your effluent. But she used to say that by the end of summer, there's a lot of plants that begin brown leaves, they're brown on them, and that the winter essentially diluted it all back down, the heavy rain.
Because the rain. That's why indoor plants don't last long.
She was saying that just your well water, if it was 24/7, 365 on that, just your well water, there's a lot of plants around here that couldn't take it. You know, and unfortunately, your well water is like runs around 2 milligrams per liter boron. Your wastewater goes around 4. It's like it gets concentrated about twice as high. And then of course the double whammy, at least your salinity is fairly low in your wells, like 500, 600 UC, right? Your wastewater EC is like 2,000.
21.
And
2101 usually.
2130 right now.
So it's a tough 1-2 punch. And so certainly I would not go invest millions of dollars in pipelines.
Expecting people to use the water.
Expecting people to use water without some, okay, let's go test some of this water, or let's go, you
especially
know,
since our biggest customer is getting free water on the Delta anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Our objective would be to get rid of the water if possible too. So charging them, if you were able to even use the water, would be kind of counterproductive.
Yeah.
Getting rid of the water, you know. Giving it away would help you get rid of the water, which is the whole point of the pipe.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, I think if the process that burning.
One thing that is true that
the only thing about his job.
The new California regulation for you have to use reclaimed water for construction water. You can't use potable water for construction water.
You couldn't wash down sidewalks during the meter project
without
limitation.
So one thing that can be done is we should have the mechanism for contractors in town to get water.
A filling station.
A filling station of some kind that contractors can get water. Is a more practical use of the water than trying to pipe it all over town, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So right now they have to dredge the ramparts. So basically when they're building these homes out here, and you know, like when there's wind blowing, there's plenty of dust, they got to drag the brambleton, get water there in their water trucks, and then they can dust.
So they're no longer hooking up to our fire hydrants?
No, they cannot. They should not be.
Did you go through a whole thing about monitoring them on fire hydrants just about 3 years ago, and now that's out the window, huh? They can't do it anymore.
They cannot, yep. It's illegal.
So we don't have to worry about that anymore.
No, you don't.
Is in the master plan a filling station?
It's not, but I can add it.
Well, I'm thinking,
sure.
Yeah. And, you know, it needs to be well thought out and not put in a place where it's going to bring too many people onto our wastewater plant because, I mean, there's a certain amount of security that we're concerned about there, but some way, maybe over plant one, I don't know, where they could do that. But we're almost built out out here, so it's not a huge problem for us.
It's not a big.
Right, but there may be a major project, just like DG&E came through here, where we did some funds off of this, they would dump the water back to us.
Oh, yeah.
So if we have a filling station, even if it's something down.
You're right. It could be a road project, it could be anything, something like Caltrans or whatever. Yeah, no, that's a good point.
You know, just have it available and advertise it that we can get you water.
Or if they call us and ask and say, hey, you're a water department, can we get water for you without having to drive 10 miles? Because the fuel they'll spend means that we could. It would be more economical to buy it from us.
Yeah.
Good point. All right. Anything else?
Well, no.
Yes.
Related to that discussion in the world, with the percolating of the water possibly into the ground, I know that would change some of our MPDS conditions. But also, it would help to dilute the nitrates in the ground. And that's a safety factor for the farmers who are around that while they're drawing from that aquifer.
Yeah.
But somehow that information needs to get to these potential RFP consultants.
Well, that, you know, that's the kind of thing the consultants need to be coming up with in terms of their cost benefits of doing different things. Now, one thing I want to comment is, you know, we got everything written down in this RFP that everyone had an idea about. Okay, what about this? What about this? What is this? We're all down. It's out there. Okay, we have a budget of $200,000. If they come in substantially over budget, we may have to decide
We might.
That we're going to have to cut some things. And just so everybody's aware, we're still holding budget on this. So I'm putting it all out there. Let's see what we get. But if they come in and say $300,000 for all this stuff, we're going to have to be specific about what
we'll prioritize.
Yeah, I have a question for you. We do it offline regarding, for example, SCADA, like what you were envisioning your scope of work would be for reviewing and recommending SCADA systems as part of the master plan.
Okay.
And I was thinking about if that was, depending on what scope you were thinking, kind of included in that budget.
Yeah.
No.
Can you talk about that offline? Maybe?
Offline, yeah.
Okay, and nothing else? I'm going to call
The only question I had is